for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, August the 31st, 1985. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
The Word of God is good. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Chapter 11. We want to look at a few scriptures here. In verse 10. And we know that we have a great inheritance in Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is not just a physical thing, but it is a spiritual thing. Although God does bless us in the physical. But in verse 10, the scripture says, the Lord says, for the land, speaking of the promised land, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it. Now, it's not enough to enter the land. We've got to also conquer the land, and we have to possess the land. And how many know the land's not going to come to you by just sitting down and being idle and doing nothing? You've got to go after it. Amen? God told Joshua, every place the sole of your foot, where you put your foot on, he said, I've given that to you. And so you've got to put your foot on things today. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because you have an adversary that wants to stop you from inheriting what is rightfully yours. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. Well, Egypt is a type of the world, isn't it? What's in the world? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And God said, the land I'm going to bring you into is not like Egypt. How many know the scripture says, by faith Moses forsook Egypt? God's not going to make you leave the world. You have to make that decision yourself. Amen? We have to cut the ties of the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in our life. Somebody say amen. Now notice he said, this land is not like the land of Egypt from whence you came out. We all came out of the world. We've all came out. Praise the Lord. Okay, brother. Thank you, brother. From whence you came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and watered it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. I mean, you can see that in Egypt there's a lot of work. Backbending. Hard work down in Egypt. Praise the Lord. And we've all worked for Jesus. Can you hear what I'm saying? But how many know it's time to let the Holy Ghost work through us? The Bible talks about repentance from dead work. Well, anything that's dead, the Holy Ghost is not in it. Amen? And how many know that our work shall be tried by fire? The fire shall try every man's work. And that which is gold, silver, and precious stones shall remain. That is spirituality, and it will stand. But that which is wood, hay, and stubble, that is carnality, and it shall be consumed by the fire of God. Because our God is a consuming fire. And you know what he said? He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. Pretty good trade, isn't it? The beauty is that new man in Christ. Hallelujah. And he gets the ashes. That's the old man. Good trade. All right. Now, notice what he says here. Praise the Lord. He said in this verse that we're reading here, in Egypt, he said, you sowed thy seed, you watered it with thy foot as a garden of herbs, verse 11, but the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys and drinks the water of heaven. He said, the land you're going to is going to drink. How many know you got to open your mouth if you're going to drink? In the natural. You got to open your heart up to God if you're going to drink, amen, of the things of the Spirit of God. But this land, he's contrasting. Verse 10 through 12 is a contrast between the new land and the old land. How many know there's a contrast between them? Between the new and the old. But he said this new land, it will drink the water of heaven, or it receives the water of heaven. It's a land, verse 12, which the Lord thy God careth for. Now, this was a natural land. How many know that today God cares for your land? God cares for you. And God wants you to drink His water. Hallelujah. And notice the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. The Scripture says His eyes are over the righteous and His ears are open to their prayer. Hallelujah. So God is watching after this land from the beginning of the year to the end. Now, so verse 10 through 12 is a contrast of the old and the new. Now, verse 13 is a condition. I mean, God has conditions we have to meet. And it shall come to pass if you shall what? Hearken diligently. God said, unto my commandments, to my words, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Praise the Lord. So there's a condition in coming into the land. God said He wants us to hear Him, to keep His commandments, amen, and to serve Him, amen, with our heart and soul. Now, one scripture in Exodus said, if we serve the Lord, He will take sickness from the midst of us. And how many know that goes deeper than just the body? From the midst of you. Jesus said, if you serve me, my Father will honor you. You ever read that? And so He's talking about a people here serving the Lord, hearing the Lord, but serving Him with their heart and with their soul. They want to serve Him. I mean, some people, you almost have to beg them to serve God. But there's a people rising that will serve the Lord. Amen. And are serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, let's all say that. We will serve the Lord. Say it again. We will serve the Lord. Amen. Now, let's say it this way. We will serve the Lord. Say it.
We will serve the Lord.
With our whole heart.
And my whole soul.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So, verse 13 is a condition there. Now, verse 14 and 15 is a promise. Verse 14 and 15 is a promise that I will give you the rain of your land when in due season. And how many know if you serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, you're going to have a rain? Yes. That's what we need, isn't it? God's going to give us a rain. He said, I will give you the rain. Notice, I'll give it to you. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't even fast it down, even though that's important, all those things. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. Hallelujah. Because you serve me with your heart and your soul. But He said, I'll give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain. Praise God. The first rain came to get the ground ready for the seed, and the last rain comes to mature the harvest. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. God not only wants us to be planted, but He wants us to mature, doesn't He? How many know it's going to take the latter rain, the former and the latter, to mature us? Praise God. But the Scripture here says that He would give us that rain in the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. Now, in the natural, that was those things to Israel. But how many know the corn to us is the Word of God? The wine is the joy of the Holy Ghost. And the oil is the Holy Ghost. Can you hear me? Thank God. How many know we need the joy of the Lord more and more? Amen? Turn to Jeremiah just a minute. Boy, don't let me get on the new wine. Praise God. Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah 48. Look in verse, I think it's 11 or 12. 11. It says here, Moab hath been at ease from his youth. I mean, God warns us not to be at ease. Warn to those that are east where? In Zion. But here He says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. That's his lifestyle. He has settled on his lees. And that means the dregs, the dross, the filth. I mean, we can just settle down and get comfortable. But how many know if you receive the new wine, you can't get comfortable? It'll rock your boat. In fact, it may blow it out of the water. Amen. But it says he settled on his lees and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. And how many know when you start emptying yourself, you begin to be a giver instead of a taker?
Hallelujah.
You're not just a grabber, you're a giver. Hallelujah. You give forth.
Yeah.
And when you start giving, what's God going to do? He's going to fill you back up, isn't he? And when you think of it, you think of pouring wine from one vessel to another or whatever. Amen? And so he says, you haven't been poured out from vessel to vessel. God fills us up that we may pour ourselves out to others.
Yes.
Amen? William Booth one time was to be on a convention and he couldn't make it. And he sent a telegram and it had one word on it. And the word said, others. Others. Hallelujah. We put others first. God will always take care of us. Amen? But he said, you have not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither have you gone into captivity. What does that mean? That means you're not a prisoner for the Lord. And you know, Paul said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And a prisoner wants to. And I think we said this here once before. A prisoner cannot choose his cellmate. You can't choose who you're going to be with. Because some of them, you like to throw them out. And some of them like to throw you out, maybe. Amen? But we are to become a prisoner for the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice, he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his faith remains in him, and his sense, no discernment, is not changed. And if we're not changing, we're backslid. How many believe that? Amen. Now turn back now to Deuteronomy. He says to us here, brethren, in the Word of God, that the latter rain was going to be poured out, the first rain and the latter rain, that we may gather in the corn, the wine, and the oil. And I believe, brethren, there is coming such revelation in the Word that we have never had yet. And I believe there's coming joy in your life that you haven't had yet.
Hallelujah.
And I believe there's going to be a visitation of the oil of the Holy Ghost that you hadn't had yet. I mean, we'll take that. Amen. But what's the condition? The condition is that we serve the Lord, isn't it? The heart and our soul. And we keep His commandments. And I'll give you the rain. You see, it doesn't. There's no effort on God to send the rain. The condition is get heart and soul right. And mind. Praise the Lord. Now, notice here in verse 14 and 15, he said, this is the promise. Verse 15, he said, I'll send grass in the fields for the cattle and so forth, that they may eat and be full. Verse 16, look at verse 16 and 17. This is a warning. Where are the warnings in the church? I mean, no, we need to be warned. Amen. Paul said, warning every man, and that I may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Remember, Christ comes into you in order to take you into Him. And where is perfection? It is in Christ. It is in the Spirit. The Anointed One. I mean, no, He's the Anointed One. Amen. And so here he says in verse 16 and 17, here's the warning. Take heed to yourself that your heart be... You know when things are going for us, if we're not careful, we let pride. I remember I was in Oklahoma one day and I let a man out of the car. This man was heavily involved in full gospel businessman's work at the time. And he went into a room and he had a vision of me and the ministry God has put in me. And he saw me as a little boy on a skateboard. And I was going in a little circle, a little circle. And the circle got a little larger and a little larger and a little larger until it came way on out here. And he said, at that time, he said, I came into the vision. And he said, I was doing my hand like this. He was saying, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. Well, how many know we need to put on the garment of humility? Amen? You know, even though we have knowledge, how many know that knowledge still puffs up? But if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. Because love is whatever. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we just know a little bit, don't we? But I sure want to know a lot. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice here. He says in this verse 16 and 17, the warning. He said, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Your heart can be deceived. You don't always know your heart. You see, because sometimes we say, well, I feel it's this way or that way. It may just be our tradition or whatever. It may not really be a conviction of God. And how many know sometimes we try to put our convictions on others? And that don't work either. But in verse 16, he said that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Well, how many know that if you do that, the rain's going to stop? Turn to Jeremiah 3 just a minute. I'll come back here. Jeremiah chapter 3 in the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Look in verse... Okay? Look in verse 3. 3-3. Therefore, the shower... What's the shower to us? It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Has been withholden. God can send it, but God can stop it too. And there have been no latter rain. Why? Because thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refused to be ashamed. And if you read this chapter, you'll see that Israel committed adultery with others. And how many know that spiritual adultery is even worse than natural adultery? And one leads to the other. And if you notice in chapter 3, look in verse 8 what God did to Israel. He said, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. But look in verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I'm married to you. Hallelujah. So, we can stop the rain by going after other gods. Amen? And other things. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 11 now. So God is warning us, isn't he? God is warning us that our heart be not deceived, that we serve not other gods, that we don't worship other gods. And verse 17 says, and then the Lord's wrath, or the Lord's anger, be kindled against you, this is God's people, and he shut up the heaven. And when the heaven shut up, brother, it shut up until God opened it. That there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. So God can give the good things. And yet if we don't serve him, he can remove us. Can he? Amen. How many know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God? And in verse 18, here's the exhortation. Therefore shall you lay up these my words where? In your heart, oh my. And in your soul. What is our heart? It is our conscience. It is, there's worship there. There's intuition. And then in our soul is our mind, our will, emotions, and our desires. And God says to us, brethren, that we must lay his words up in our heart and in our soul and bind them for a sign upon our hand that they may be frontlets between your eyes. Praise the Lord. Now you could say a lot there, but we need God before our eyes. Amen? Just a second. 20. Is it 20? Let's see. Or is it 3 or 4? Look at Proverbs 3. 4. I'll get it right here in a minute. Proverbs 4:20. 4:20. My son, or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my saying. I mean, no, you've got to study the Bible. God won't make you. Let them not, what? Let them, that's his word, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. I mean, if the word of God is before our eyes and our heart, we're not going to sin against God. But when we get away from the word of God and we get loose, then we begin to say and do things we shouldn't do. For they, that's the word, are life to those that find them. And I can't find them for you. You got to find them for yourself. And health are medicine to all their flesh. I mean, the word of God's the healer. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Well, the word is Jesus. And this is his word to us, isn't it? Thank God. But their health are medicine to all their flesh. How many old flesh is inside and outside? The word of God is our healer. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn back now. So God says to us, we're to keep the word of God in our heart and in our souls. Bind them, verse 18. Bind them for a sign upon our hands and so forth. Verse 19. 19 and 20. Now here's our duty. Here's our duty as Christians, brother. Verse 19 and 20. And ye shall teach them, that's the word, your children. speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house. Well, let me know in the room or something else. But he said, when you're in your house, he said, speak of those things to your children. And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And people would say, man, you are a fanatic. We saw in verse 19 and 20 of this chapter, it's our duty to teach our children and to talk about the Word of God as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, and as we lie down and as we rise up. Verse 20, God said, you're to write it upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gate. Of course, how many know this is our house today? This is God's house right here. Nothing wrong with having writings on the wall, but this is the house. The Word's got to be in. Amen? How many know we're the house of God today? Amen. And God said you're to teach your children. Then in verse 21, now here's God's purpose. Here's God's purpose for this latter rain covenant. Look in verse 21. Everybody read verse 21. Here's the purpose of God. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. How many would like to have that? Days of heaven on the earth. Most homes aren't that way. But God's purpose for this whole covenant that we're talking about is that our days would be like the days of heaven upon the earth, praise the Lord. And how many know there's a people going to inherit the earth? Turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, please. Praise the Lord God. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5:10. And notice what the scripture says. And has made us unto our God, kings and priests. And we shall reign where? On the earth. Now turn to Revelation 2, verse 26. It says, and he that overcometh, or one that gets the victory over, and keepeth my work unto the end. That work is the Holy Ghost work. To him, the overcomer, will I give power over what? The nations. Well, how many know we can't even rule ourselves many times, let alone the nations yet? Until we can conquer ourselves, amen, and overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, we'll never overcome and rule in the nation. But there is a people that God is raising up that will rule or shepherd the nation. Amen? And they'll shepherd the nations under the shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Under the shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Amen? How many know he's the preeminent one? He's the exalted one. And the shepherd is in us, thank God. But it says that these overcomers will shepherd with a rod of iron. And I don't mean they're going to beat people on the head, because they won't. Because if you rule under the shepherd, you're going to live and act like the shepherd.
Yes.
Not like heathen. Amen? I mean, we've got a long way to go yet. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they, the nations, be broken to shivers or to small pieces, even as I received of my Father. The same promise given to Jesus is given to the overcomer here, isn't it? And they will rule with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I will give him, the overcomer, the morning. Turn to Revelation 22. 16. I mean, this book of Revelation has Jesus' special endorsement. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Mine angel. Well, how many know his angel is a prophet? Look back in chapter 22, verse 8. I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, what? The prophet. This angel was a prophet that had the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John thought he was the Lord, and he fell at his feet. And them which seek the sayings of this book worship God. Hallelujah. No angel or no true prophet will take worship. You hear me? That's reserved only for our Lord. How many know that Joshua saw the captain of the Lord's host in Joshua 5, and immediately he worshipped and took off his shoes? That had to be Jesus. Now it says back in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to what? Testify unto you, church, these things. What things? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Where? In the churches. How many has ever been taught on the revelation of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. A few of you. He said, I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and what? Morning star. And he said, I'll give the morning star to the one that overcomes, the one that shall rule the nation with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. So, brethren, I believe the Lord is doing something in us if we allow him. Now, I want to speak just a few more minutes in the book of Joshua. Turn, let's go there just a few minutes and look at some scriptures today. How many know we have to bear the past? Now, we're talking about inheritance today. We're talking about God's covenant, latter rain covenant. We talked about that. But in order to come into the land and in order to partake of what God has for us, you have to bear the past. How many know so many times we want to hold on to it? But look in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1 of Joshua. And by the way, you know in the book of Joshua, everything's new. There's a new land. There's a new enemy. There's a new people. There's a new generation. There's new food. There's a new leader. I mean, everything's new. Well, how many know we're living on the new covenant? And how many know he's raising up one new man? The Bible talks about new heavens, new earth, new wine. Everything's new. But when you move in the book of Joshua, you're talking about moving into your inheritance. How many know the book of Joshua and the book of Ephesians go together? Warfare. Now, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now, after the death of Moses, the word Moses, his name means to be drawn out. And you see that in Moses' life. He was drawn out to God. He was drawn out, you know, behind the desert, drawn out upon Mount Nebo and gave his life and so forth, laid his life down. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. I mean, know that Moses the shepherd had to give way to Joshua the soldier. I mean, know that Moses is a type of the law, and the law cannot take the land. And God said to Joshua, Moses is dead. He's not coming back. They used to see him go off 40 days, 80 days at a time, fasting and praying. God said, he's not coming back this time. He's dead. You know what we like to do? We like to resurrect that which is dead. If it's dead, it's dead. How many know when Elijah ascended up to heaven, they went to try to find him, bring him back. You can't bring back the old, can you? We got to press on towards the new. You got to bear the past, brother. Amen. Now, God came to Joshua, and he said, he's dead. Moses is dead. He said, therefore, now rise, you and this people, and go over the Jordan. Now, I like Joshua's attitude because he didn't rise up and say, bless God, I'm the leader, let's go. He waited on God, didn't he? How many know there's a people arising that's going to be led by the Holy Ghost? And they that are led by the Spirit of God, we know they're the sons of God. Turn that around. Those that are not led by the Spirit of God, they're not the sons of God. So here he was led of God. Amen? To take the people in. And notice he said, notice what God said. Arise, in verse 2, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. How many believe there's a people going in together into the inheritance? And that means you need me and I need you. And I believe in the days ahead, we're not going to make it without each other. How about you? We're not going to make it without Jesus, but we're going to need each other. And if we're going to the Holy of Holies, if we move into that dimension that God has for us, for that remnant, we've got to go in together. And that means we submit one to another, and we love one another, and we don't break our ranks and thrust one another through with the sword. Amen? Praise God. Now, look down. I'm just going to give you a few verses here before we close. Look down in verse 6. He was to be strong and with a great courage. But look down in verse 11, what God said to Joshua. Pass through the host. You could almost stop there and preach a sermon, couldn't you? I mean, there's two hosts, you know. There's God's host. Brother Pittman saw the other host. I mean, the enemy has a host, too. But here he said, pass through the host and command the people, saying, notice, command the people. Here's a leader commanding the people, saying, prepare your victuals, food, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Well, how many believe that in 3 days we're going to pass over? How many days did it take God to create everything? 6 days, and the seventh day God rested, didn't he? Well, how many know in the first 1,000 years, a day with the Lord is as a 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day? And that's the principle. How many know in the first day, the first millennium, the first 1,000 years, God made a difference between the seed of Adam, the seed of Christ, and the seed of Satan? God said the woman's seed. Well, how many know a woman didn't have seed in the natural? So it has to be Christ, didn't it? He said the Christ seed, the woman seed, would bruise your head, serpent's head, and yet he said he'll bruise your heel. How many know that the enemy is after you walk life? How many know the heel is the lowest part of the body? And he wants to deter your walk life. Of course, we know that speaks of many other things. But the thing is, in the first day, God made a division, didn't he? Between the unrighteous seed and the righteous seed. Amen? I mean, no, Adam didn't quite live a day. He lived almost a day, didn't he? Almost 1,000 years. In the second day, there was Noah. And how many know God made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous? Here, the righteous seed apart from the unrighteous seed. And then in the third day, there was a man who had 2 sons, Isaac and Ishmael. God made a separation. He said, cast out the woman and her, the bondwoman and her son. Remember that? Again, God is making a distinction between the righteous seed and the unrighteous seed. And then in the fourth day, the true seed, Jesus Christ, came. The 4,000 years. The Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And then in the fifth day, the church was born at Pentecost. And in the sixth day, which we're living. I'm just hurriedly going over this. In the sixth day, which we're living. And how many know on the sixth day, back in creation, God created the beast first, and then man. And what's happening today? The beast is coming forth. And God's raising a man child up. But you always see the beast coming first in Scripture. The beast is always first. How many know Cain was before Abel? How many know Saul was before David? Huh? Eli was before Samuel. Amen? Ishmael was before Isaac. Esau was before Jacob. Amen? Saul was before Paul. There's a harlot arising as well as a true church arising. But I'm telling you, we're in the sixth day. We're in the sixth day, brethren. And there's a beast system arising, but right on the heels is a man child going to face that thing head on. The sons of God, the overcomers. Amen? And there's coming a confrontation between light and darkness. And we don't have to tell you who won. We know who wins. Because it's Jesus in a people. And then the seventh day will be the millennium. Of course, God rested on the seventh day, and God's going to bring us into rest. There's a rest for the natural body. And there's the Holy Ghost rest. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the rest and the refreshing, the Scripture says. But yet the fullness of that rest will be the 1,000-year rest with our Lord. Amen? Brother Pittman touched on that the other night a little bit. Praise the Lord. But notice what he said here in verse 11. Pass to the host, command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan. 3 and possess the land. 3 is the number of resurrection, isn't it? 3 days. How many know Jesus said, destroy this body, and in 3 days, what's he going to do? He said, I'll raise it up. Well, how many know that to come to the seventh day from Jesus takes 3 days? He came at the end of the fourth day, didn't he? 4,000 years. That leaves day 5. Day 6, and we're coming to day 7, aren't we? What's God doing? He's raising up a people, isn't he? Now, see, I could give you a lot of scriptures on this, but I'm not going into that today. But here's what I want you to see. God brought Israel up to Jordan, and it was a helpless and a hopeless situation in the natural to cross over. How many know that it was in the time of harvest, and also the water was at flood stage? An impossibility to get across, and I can hear the carnal mind saying, well, bless God, let's build some boats and get across. God said, you stay right there. You watch that situation. You look at that impossible situation, and in 3 days, you'll pass over. And they did, didn't they? Hallelujah. They passed over in resurrection life. And you'll notice here in verse 12, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh spake to Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land, your wives, your little ones, and cattle, and so forth. And then he said, Moses gave you this side Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Now those two and a half tribes, they wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan, the east side of Jordan. They had to cross over and fight, and yet they were to come back. Well, what does that represent? That actually represents the people just wanting to stay in the holy place. How many know when you cross Jordan, you're crossing into the Holy of Holies? Huh? How many know that there are people, sometimes the battle gets hot, and they just want to remain in the holy place? They don't want to go any further. Going from east to west. Jesus said the lightning shall flash from east to west that is coming, didn't it? Praise God. I thank God for the holy place, but I want to be in a people that presses and moves on into the holy place. I want to be a hundredfolder. I'm not a hundredfolder, but I want to be a hundredfolder. I don't believe anybody's there yet, but I believe there's a people going to go in together. Amen. But it's going to look, you're going to look hopeless and helpless in the natural, because we can't do it in our strength. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to take us across.
Hallelujah.
Amen. How many know we got a forerunner that went in before us? He's leading the way, isn't he?
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank God. So, brethren, today we have an inheritance. By the way, the word Jordan means spreading of judgment. Praise God. So they walked across Jordan. How many know there's a baptism in the Red Sea? Outer court. Baptism in the cloud. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, holy place. And there's a baptism through Jordan, Holy of Holies. And when you go across Jordan, that's the same as the rending of the veil in your life and in my life. Let's stand.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.